Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'adhotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always very, very pleased, enlightened, and enjoyed, and just feeling wonderful about being able to always come to you each week, same time, same location, and certainly for the same reason, and that is to bring forward true African liberation, true justice, and true freedom. Well, tonight's program, of course, is going to be very interesting, as usual. We have a lot of information we're going to be bringing to you. This is, of course, the observance of the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. And we're going to tell you something about a program that we went to earlier. In fact, we're going to have joining us very soon Brother Willie Ricks, who attended today's program here in Philadelphia. It's part of the UNIA program. And we're going to be talking to Brother Willie Ricks very, very shortly. But in the meantime, before we go to our segment, we give thanks and praises to our Creator.
Did not suffer and die to give me an education to slay, oppress, or discourage my people. Because whatsoever education I acquired out of this sacrifice of over 300 years, I shall use for the salvation of the 400 million black people of the world. And
okay, it seems like we have a little technical difficulty here. We're going to try it again.
God Almighty said there shall be no more left for you. I unequivocally rejected the racist assumption of much white American Christianity, namely that God had created the black man inferior and that he had intended Negroes to be a servant class, hewers of wood and drawers of water. Well, I predicated my goal of man on the doctrine of Imago Dei. All men, regardless of color, are created in the image of God. Now, from this premise, followed the equality of all men and the brotherhood of all men. The biblical injunction of Acts 17:26 reminds us that he created of one blood all nations of men that dwell on the face of the earth. I was most interested in brotherhood within his own race, because if Negroes are created in God's image and Negroes are black, then God must, in some sense, be black. If the white man has the idea of a white God, let him worship his God as he desires. We have found a new ideal, because whilst our God has no color, because it's human to see everything through one's own spectacles, and since the white people have seen their God through their white spectacles, we have only now started to see our God's own room. God of Ethiopia, the everlasting God, God of Father, God of...
Okay, family, well, for some reason tonight we are having some technical difficulties. So what we're going to do is see if we can resolve that problem, and we'll come back to that a little later on. Of course, we were attempting to play for you the Honorable Marcus Garvey, one of the famous speeches by the Honorable Marcus Garvey. And again, we're going to try to bring that back for you in a few minutes. We're going to try to see what's happening while we're getting that glitch. In the meantime, we want to remind you that you are in tune to New Day Resurrection and Liberation. And tonight, we are going to pay tribute to the Honorable Marcus Garvey, Marcus Messiah Garvey, that is. And we're going to also continue our tribute, a salute to Black August. Let's see. We were going to bring you that incredible speech by the Honorable Marcus Garvey, and again, we're going to try to relocate another clip that might not give us any real problem, but we want to remind you also that a little later on, we're going to be talking with Father Willie Ricks, also known as Mukasa Dada. And he, of course, is a well-known freedom fighter, was very, very close to Baba Kwame Ture, and the two of them made popular the phrase Black Power. So tonight we are going to talk live with Baba Willie Ricks, and we're going to talk about Black Power and how that got started, what it means today, and so forth and so on. As we started off, we wanted to, of course, give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we did not add, which we always do, and we are very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. And, of course, tonight, with that said, we are talking about the Honorable Marcus Garvey. We had the opportunity to go earlier. There was a program here in Philly, and it was the UNIA, which, of course, the organization that the Honorable Marcus Garvey started, and that's where Brother Willie Ricks did his presentation tonight. And we're going to kind of give you somewhat of a review or report on that. Let's see. We are still trying to pull that clip for you that we wanted to play. Again, that was a speech from the Honorable Marcus Garvey. But in the meantime, we want to also remind you that we're going to also talk with a sister very shortly. And the sister's name is Sister Allison Sapp. And we're going to talk to her about a situation going on with her and her family as it pertains to, once again, the prison industrialized complex strikes again. This time we have a young brother who is incarcerated and needs some medical treatment immediately, actually. And we're going to talk to his mother to, you know, get you all involved and help to get this young brother some treatment that is very, very necessary and that the prison officials are denying. Okay, we're going to try this speech once again on another speech, and hopefully this one will be clearer.
The white man has the idea of what God, let him wipe the God if he desires. We have found a new ideal. Because white power God has no power, because it is human to see everything so white goes spectacle. And since the white people see their God with their white spectacle, we have only now started that they all have their own. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the one God of all ages. That is the God in whom we believe. But we shall worship him for the spectacles of Ethiopia. For 260 years, we have been under the burden and rigor of slavery. We were maimed, we were brutalized, we were ravaged in every nation. We are men. We have hopes, we have passions, we have feelings, we have desires just like any other race. The cry is raised all over the world. Canada for the Canadians, of America for the Americans, of England for the English, of France for the French, of Germany for the Germans. Do you think it unreasonable it will be the fact of the world to raise the cry of Africa for the Africans? The Negro man, we represent the new Negro. This back is not yet against the wall. We do not want this back against the wall because that would be a peculiar and desperate position. We do not want him there. It is because of this that we for fair compromise. The Belgians have control of the Belgian Congo, which they cannot use. They have not the resources to develop now the intelligence. The French have more territory than they can develop. They're certain parts of Africa which they cannot live at all. So it is for you to come together and give us the United States of Africa.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We are not going to be arrested of the country. God never intended it, but we are not going to view God as the citizen of the same. We are men, human beings, capable of the same acts as any other race. Possessing under fair circumstances the same intelligence as any other race. No Africans been sleeping, not dead, only sleeping. Today, Africans walking along not only on our feet, but on our brains. You can enslave us with some for 300 years the bodies of men. You can tackle the hands of men. You can tackle the feet of men. You can imprison the bodies of men, but you cannot tackle or imprison the minds of men. By strong black men and women. We shall black men and women and put our nation's knowledge to turn you around and make a conquest of everything, north and south, east and west. And then when you have brought wealth, you will have merited God's blessing, you will have become God's chosen people, and naturally you will become leaders of the world. But as you bow down to the white man today, so a lot of races bow down to you and come to the rest of us because of the superiority of your mind and your achievements.
Indeed, the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. Now, can you imagine? Here we are today in 2013, and we are still talking about things that have already been talked about 70 years ago. We are debating about so many different things, but there's one thing that there is no debate about, and that is the fact that much has happened to us as a people, and obviously we know what it is we need to do in order to make the situation better. We know that that's true because we just heard the Honorable Marcus Garvey say it many, many years ago. So what is wrong with our people today, family? Why can't we get the message after it's been already given so many times before, but yet there still seems to be, you know, some, for whatever reason, some desire to be stuck on stupid. Meaning, if we were told, and we just heard that we were, and Donald Marcus Garvey was not the only one, but certainly one that we tend to recognize and remember, but if we were told that these are some of the things that have happened to us and these are some of the things that we need to do, if we were told this so many years ago, why are we not doing it today? We're going to talk more about that very, very shortly. Especially when we talk with Baba Wooly Ricks, and we're going to open up the phone lines for you all to also give us your comment as to why, as black men, black women today, are we not having our own schools, our own factories, our own everything? Why is that not happening today? Well, I have some answers to that, and I'm sure that you do as well. And the sooner we begin to disclose that to a clearer and more appropriate degree, I think, family, the sooner we'll make some other kind of headway. In the meantime, let's see, what do we want to get ready to do? I think we might be ready for our first dialogue on our live line for tonight. Again, we're going to talk about Black August, which, of course, focuses on the release of our political prisoners. And for those of you who do not know or have not heard about COINTELPRO, well, you're going to learn something about it tonight. Certainly when we talk to Brother Wooly Ricks, Baba Wooly Ricks, we will hear from him, his experiences with COINTELPRO. Certainly Baba Kwame Ture was another one who was under attack. But what we're going to do now is we're going to talk to a sister who, her son is incarcerated here in the state of Pennsylvania. And our position is that all of our people deserve, must have human rights. So what we're going to do is talk to Sister Alicia Sopp, and we're going to talk to her about the plight of her son, and of course it's the plight of many others. But let's open up the live line.
Good evening.
And we're going to talk to Sister Alicia. We have you on this line?
Yes. Good evening. This is Allison.
Yes, greetings, Sister Allison. Thank
greetings.
You for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me. Peace and blessings.
And peace and blessings to you. Okay, we are going to talk about, and we do often here at New Day, some of the various things that goes on in this so-called system. And unfortunately, a lot of that is against us as people of African descent, people of color, of melanation, shall we say.
Yes.
But what we want to do is bring some particular attention to what is happening with your son. And again, family, we want all of you to know that while we're talking to Sister Allison about what's happening with her son, certainly there are others. But, you know, we do what we can here at New Day. And so, Sister Allison, you have it. The mic is yours.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm calling because my son, Tahir, is incarcerated at the State Correctional Institute at Pittsburgh. He was shot 14 times in September 2011 in an incident unrelated to his incarceration, and he did sustain serious damage to his chest, abdomen, leg, and by God's grace, he recovered. He was still having problems when he was incarcerated. months later. So when he went into custody, you know, they were aware that he had this abdominal injury that was still open and draining. And, of course, they said they were going to take care of him. He couldn't stay on the streets, you know, that he had to go into prison. And they had a prison hospital. Well, consequently, he never ended up at the prison hospital. They sent him to the State Correctional Facility at Pittsburgh. It's been 15 months. And his wound is still open. You know, to my understanding, the wound is infected. It's been it's been abscessed. He's been operated on twice prior to his incarceration. And 3 weeks before his incarceration, he had MRSA, has MRSA in that wound. It's the stitches where he was closed up in his abdomen where he was shot several times also. And the doctors had said that, you know, they were trying to take the stitches back out because of his infection that he was sustaining and that acquired. And he, like I said, 15 months, the wound is still bleeding. He has asked, the staff says all they can do is give him gauze, that the state will not pay for the surgery to have the stitches removed and the proper stitches back in, that his time is too short. He's serving a 4 to 8 year term. So what time is too short that if you have MRSA in your abdomen and it's been there for 15 months in these stitches that are infected, I talked to him on the phone, it's oozing yellow. It has a putrid smell, a sweet putrid smell that the surgeon warned us about. You know, when he was sent there, he was sent with medical records. They lost his records. Every time I write or request something from the director of the prison, he brings my son down and still tells him they're not going to do the surgery because he's not in there long enough. He's not the only one. My son has talked to 10 other inmates in the prison who are suffering the same problem. They have medical conditions that the state says they're not paying for, that as long until you pass out or almost die or do die, are we going to do anything?
Wow.
It's very, that's such a powerful statement.
Tell us again, Mel, what prison is this?
He is in the State Correctional Institute at Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yes, this is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay, great.
And I tried to contact the superintendent there. He has not responded to my letter requesting to meet him so we could discuss what help my son could receive, you know, especially since he wasn't sent to a prison hospital, you know. And for the staff, the medical staff, to say that they're concerned, you know, they're telling my son this, you know, we're concerned and you really need the surgery. But our hands are tied. You know, there are some compassionate people behind bars, but, you know, the administration, those at the top are the ones that hold the strings. They're the ones that make the decisions, you know, and evidently, like we're saying, this is another, because this is a person that's of color, you wait until you are severely ill. You know, septicemia can kill you right away. You know, it doesn't have to take weeks or months, you know, associated with these infections, you know. And, you know, they were taking care of him. They're giving him Coumadin for reasons, you know, other reasons, and he's not, doesn't need it. You know, he's bleeding, he's infected, his wound is oozing. All they do is give him gauze and say, well, when it gets worse, let us know. So I'm very upset. I'm appalled that, you know, people are suffering. They're not getting their human rights, aren't being addressed. They're being treated like slaves. Like, this is, you're in prison, you are a slave.
That's right. That's right, and this is
you are a slave.
Really,
you have no rights. Yes,
that's right.
And they will do whatever they want to. So I wrote Superintendent Mark Capoza, and he has not responded to my letter. You know, I wrote him September 1st, I haven't heard anything back from him yet. I mean, I'm August 1st. That's how upset I am about this, you know. You know, so I'm going to try to reach out to others, people in politics, and see if I can get some help. I contacted Vincent Hughes' office, State Senator Vincent Hughes' office, and a gentleman there, Ron Allen, said that he would send a letter to the prison requesting that something be done for my son's health. You know, so I'm waiting to hear from them. So, you know, my hands are tied and my heart is in pain.
Make sure that the senator's office provides you with a copy of whatever correspondence that they say that they're going to send. Because unfortunately, my experiences have been that sometimes, too often, shall I say, various politicians have said they're going to do something, and of course, that never really gets done. But you don't know that; they just say
Thank
it.
You.
So
yes,
it's always good.
I do have a number to follow up with them, and that's what I was, I plan to do this week. I have to stay on top of this and try best to save him. You know, I don't want to get – I don't want my son to die because all they have to do is remove those stitches and replace him.
Right. Now, just so for folks who are listening and they may not be familiar with Mercer, tell us a little bit about
It is called a methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. This is a disease that can eat your flesh. They have no antibiotics to take care of this. So once you have this infection, you have to. They have to address it. They have to go in and do whatever they can. Even if they have to, they're going to have to debride his wound. They need to open it, to remove the stitches, remove the infection. This is the problem that is growing, and anyone can tell you. MRSA can you can get it in populations in prison. You can obtain MRSA. You can obtain it anywhere where there's populations of individuals. His immune system is not strong because he had lost part of his liver and his spleen. He lost his spleen completely from the 14 gunshots. He has shrapnel in his chest, and he lost his femur, and his leg was completely destroyed. They had to put a metal rod there, and that's your thigh bone. You know, so his immune system isn't strong, and for them to, you know, you play with someone's life like this, you know, this is a serious medical condition.
Wow. Okay, so
15 months.
And this has been going on for 15 months.
15 months. I've been sending correspondence to an attorney, his criminal attorney. He sent something in July. He sent something in May. This has been ongoing, and our answers are always, we haven't even gotten a response. He hadn't gotten a response from Mr. Kathy Stubensky, who is the acting medical director at State Correctional Institute at Pittsburgh. We haven't gotten a response back from her as to what are they going to do about this medical surgical procedure that he needs, that needs to take place soon. And it even says how very anxious the family is, you know, so... And I appreciate you so much for giving me the opportunity to put this information out there. I pray someone could help me. His name is Tautier Moore, and he's at State Correctional Facility at Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Pittsburgh, PA. Thank you so much.
Let's also do this, because then we talked about this the other day. I believe you reside in the district where State Representative Vanessa Brown Lowry, is the state legislator. So what we now need to do is to prepare a letter for State Representative Lowry Brown. And from now on, you need to CC your letters, meaning a letter that goes to, now you did send it to the superintendent of prison?
Yes, Mark Capoza.
Okay. Now we want to get out his
SCI Pittsburgh, 3000 Beaver Avenue. Yes, 3001 Beaver Avenue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Now, do you by any chance have a phone number or a fax number?
No, I do not have a fax number or phone. Oh, wait, no, that's for his attorney's office. No, because they haven't sent us any correspondence with anything on it.
No, but usually when you go online, they'll have a listing of the various prisons, and they also will have a list of, oh, they'll also indicate the telephone number and the fax number. Some of them
yes, they do, because I did look on it, but they had the wrong, they don't have the correct names of the current persons that are sitting in these jobs. Because there was a Rosen whose name was supposed to be the medical director, but that's not who the letter that the attorney was given to send to. You know, these people leave, I guess, these jobs, or they go out and someone else takes over. Yes, I do need
right.
to have that number. I can always locate it. I can always put
okay.
my hands on it because I do have a computer, just like I had this. So I should fax. Well, I should fax one up, is what you're saying. That would be a good way to also.
Yes. We need to cover every angle and make sure that we hit every form of communications. But
yes,
also, what we know has worked in the past is that as we're passing information on to folks that we want to support or help, these are
yes.
some of the things that they also can do, and that is to call and to fax. Because we've gotten responses in the past from doing that. Whenever you have a campaign and you're asking people, look, call the prison, email the prison, fax the prison, jam up their lines.
Yes.
A lot of times it makes some response. So that's why for the next program, what we want to do is have a listing of telephone number, fax number, names, whatever we need so that we can inform our family listening audience with that information, arm them with that information, and that will allow them to also call and make inquiries, as well as the local politicians. Because, again,
yes.
Vanessa, Representative Vanessa Lally Brown, she's in the district that you reside. So with her being a state rep, she definitely needs to get that information. And we need to make certain that the copy that you sent to Senator Vincent Hughes, from now on, everything needs to be CC, meaning copies you indicate, so that they see you're sending copies to various people.
All right.
We want to also send it to whatever copies we're going to start sending them to the ACLU.
All right.
Just
and
so
I just found the number for, the number I called for the medical director, and that was like a number that was answered by someone at the prison, and then they left a message. Could I give you that? Could I put that number out there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The number is area code 412-761-1955,
mm-hmm.
and that's for the medical director at the prison.
Okay. And do we have a name for that person?
It is Kathy Shubensky.
Okay. Mhm. Very good.
And they also
have
a Rochelle Rosen is also in the directory as medical
okay.
director.
Could you spell Kathy's last name, please?
Yes. S as in Sam. C H U. B E N S K I.
Okay, very good. Okay, family, you are hearing information that we hope that you will take some action on. What we're requesting is that telephone calls and for our next program, we'll have for you some fax numbers, possibly email addresses, but definitely some other telephone numbers for you to contact the prison. And, request that this brother is to get some medical treatment. Okay? So we need some action on this. Now,
and he's not the only one. There's other families with loved ones that are put in the same situation, that are in the same situation today.
Okay.
And if I can get some names, I will have those names, some names for you as well.
Okay, very good. So what we want to do now is we've already begun formulating a plan of action, and we're going to, for this week, again, get copies to Vanessa Lowry Brown, Representative Vanessa Lowry Brown.
Yes.
We're going to do a follow-up with the Senator Benson Hughes' office. And the other thing we want to get ready for, which they tend to hate, and that is a press conference.
Yes.
Because you're saying that there are other inmates who are also experiencing a lack of medical treatment.
That is true.
And not only that, with MRSA, is that contagious?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's why I was saying in populations where there's multiple persons, you can catch it. It just by on a surface, a towel. Just being around it, because it spreads on your skin. You can have it on your legs, your buttocks, your arms, your hands, your face. And if you have any kind of injury, that's where it's going. It'll go right to your injury.
Wow.
Yes, and in prison populations, it's easy to get it. It's easy to get in dormitories, and it's that's why I'm so baffled that when you say the word MRSA, you know, it's serious. It's a serious condition. It eats your flesh. It can cause holes. It can eat flesh. And they have to debris. They have to remove that infected tissue in order to stop it.
So this also
and sometimes it can't be. And sometimes it can't be cured. Sometimes you'll have it, and your body has to be able to fight it off. And in my son's
right.
case, he doesn't have his immune system isn't strong without his spleen, and he doesn't have a spleen. So, and with his bleeding, and he's in pain, he says his pain level is 8. And just to turn, to sit, to lift, to lean, he's in pain.
And you said he also is suffering from liver.
He part of his liver was shot away, and he lost his spleen completely. It was shot away also, and part of his stomach. Yeah, he suffered a lot of damage, and it's all in his medical records, which I do have. I have the papers that the hospital gave him when they released him, and it lists these injuries. I sent this stuff to the prison with him, and they threw it away. Okay, and our county prisons are even worse as far as the care.
Right.
Like CFCF,
right.
He was there for a week, 2 weeks with the same dressing on. You know, they're very
wow.
horrible. Just as well as when he was in Butler County Prison before they sent him to a jail. They had them housed in close population. They were all like in bunks in rows. It was overcrowded, and it's appalling how they only he had the same dressing on for days, and mm-hmm. we had just been had the surgeon. I had a solution that the surgeon said, "This is what you make," and you. I wrote all that and sent it with him, and of course it was thrown away. Like, we're not using this. What's this? Like, what do you know? I know a lot of things. I work in the medical profession, so I do know, and I was with him the whole time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was there helping with his care from the day he was shot until he was released from rehab because he had to learn how to walk all over again.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah,
so it's just not enough to be.
And this is
have,
going on the second year. It'll be 2 years in September. So he still has an open wound. Like, are you serious? This
wow,
is it's appalling. It's appalling. It's appalling. And for the state to say when they spend, we pay tax money for these billions and millions of dollar prison systems, and then they're not willing to keep the prisoners. They're keeping the money. They're not using it on the prisoners. They're not using it on the prisoners.
You know, Pennsylvania, actually, from what I'm told, it's going to be right in Philadelphia. I'm not sure where that's going to
yeah.
be at. But
yeah.
we are told that a $400 million
yes.
prison,
yes.
the projection for that is, well, they've already said it's going to happen.
Yes, yes. Yes.
$400 million new prison.
Exactly, because they want to make more money off of our people. This one is going to house men, women, and the mentally ill. This new $400 billion prison, yes. They're closing schools and building prisons. We have
right.
a new
they've already closed
new study center that they built right here in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the neighborhood collecting kids now over the summer. They're collecting children now, so there won't be many children in school if school opens at all. Because as you heard, they need $50 million to open the schools.
Right.
And so what's going to happen? What's happening? People have got to get up and start screaming and hollering about these things, really.
Well, that too, but I tell you, my sister, and this is what we advocate here at New Day and the Million Woman Movement, and that is we've got to have our own. I mean, at some point, we've got to realize it, and yes, I agree, taxes are being paid, but the reality is these people are taking that money, doing whatever they want to do with
yes,
it.
Yes, they are,
and
yes.
And because we're not organized in the
yes.
way that we need to
yes.
be,
yes.
they still like, they
that's
can do whatever they want
true.
To do, which they
exactly.
do, which they can.
Yes, that's
so
true.
We've got to get organized to a better extent and begin to focus more on what are we going to do for us as people? Where's our schools? Where's our libraries? Where's
yes.
our museums? You see?
Where's our music programs? Where are our arts programs for our children?
Right.
They deserve the culture. They don't even have, they can't even do exercise. The schools
right.
don't provide them a physical education.
No, because the whole thing is really for indoctrination.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what it's really about, to continue to indoctrinate our children so that they can do what? Continue to service the system and
yes.
service the so-called powers that be. That's what so-called education, school, public school, whatever, that's what it's really about. It's not to give you any quality type of edification. It's focused on giving you enough information for you to get a job, for you to do whatever it is to keep this system rolling. That's what it's really about.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so now let's look at an additional plan of action, my sister, as
all right.
to your son. We want to look at, within the next week, a petition. We
all
found
right.
that you know, to do a petition is very helpful. And this is something that most folks don't have a problem with doing, and that is signing a petition. Signing a
all
petition
right.
to have, you know, to say that your son needs immediate medical care, adequate immediate medical care. These are some of the things that we can begin to look at as another, you know, strategy and plan of action.
All right.
Okay.
So all right.
I'm taking
yes.
notes on that.
Thank you. I am also.
Okay.
All
so
right.
again, we're looking at having our folks to call the prison, to send them faxes, to send them emails, and next week, family, we'll have that information for you.
Yes.
And in the meantime, we begin to look at a petition, getting a petition online. It's very easy to do nowadays. We
okay.
need to use technology for our best interest and, you know, to
yes.
benefit us. Okay. So those are two things. So, family, we're going to open up the lines for you all. If you have any suggestions or comments, please push one now, and we'll get you on. But we're talking about how old is your son again, Sister Allison?
He is 35 years old. He just turned.
Okay.
He's 35.
Okay. Okay. All right. What we want to do is we're going to open up our live line, and we want our folks to, if you have any questions or comments, family, or suggestions as to how we can proceed to get this brother some medical care, it's critical. It's very critical. And, you know, there's no excuse, no reason why He should not be getting medical care, as with others. And see, a lot of times, unfortunately, sister, it takes one. You know,
yes.
It takes one being able to kind of be highlighted because it is happening to others. We know that. This is what they
yes.
do. But you know, now with this one, we can also perhaps help others. So what we're going to do, we have a caller at 4-3. Hold on, caller, because for some reason I'm having a little problem with my voice tonight. And you're at 4-3-6-1. I'm going to open up your mic. If you have a suggestion for us tonight or a question or a comment, we're talking again about a brother who is in Pittsburgh. And, oops, do we have your – it looks like we just lost that person.
Oh,
I'm not sure what happened, but somehow we just lost you. I was opening up your mic, but it seems like we just lost you. So if you can call back in, we did not – oh, no, I see you. Here you are. Okay, we're going to try again. Having some problems. Okay, we got you. 4-3-6-1. You had a question or comment or suggestion for us tonight? 4-3-6-1. Okay. I'll try one more time. 4-3.
Are you talking Mukasa?
Oh, Brother Mukasa. Okay, I want you to stay right there. I'm going to come right back to you, okay? This is our next, this is Brother Mukasa calling, and Brother Mukasa, stay right there. We want to finish up with Sister Allison. I don't know if you heard, but her son is incarcerated here in Pittsburgh, actually, state of Pennsylvania. He was shot 14 times prior to him being incarcerated. And now they will not give him the ample medical treatment that he needs. So, you know, we're trying to get folks to call the prison and so forth and so on. So, Baba Mukasa, you stay right there. We're going to finish up with Sister Allison, and we'll be right back to you. Okay, Sister Allison, so
yes.
Let's see. What we want to do is I'm going to get you back on next week. And
all right.
With that said, we'll
be
ready
my honor.
To give. Okay, great. We'll be
yes.
ready to give folks some additional information, and I'll be talking with you later on this week. So we'll be talking before in the next program.
All right,
be ready to go with some action.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your help, and I appreciate the help
you're
of all those
welcome.
Out the viewers listening. And thank you. Peace and blessings to everyone.
And before you go, Sister Allison, please give out your email address so
oh,
that
yes.
folks, if they need to contact you. Uh-huh.
Sure. My email address is Allie, A-L-L-I-E, 24, F-A-L, at yahoo.com. That's
okay.
Allie,
one more time.
24, Sal, at yahoo.com.
Okay, and is there a telephone number or you just want to leave your email?
The email is perfect.
Okay, great. One more time for me.
Allie, A-L-L-I-E,
mm-hmm.
24, S-A-L, at yahoo.com.
Okay, very good. All right, my sister, well, thank you again
thank you.
For
oh,
sharing
thank
this
you so
information.
Much. I really appreciate your help, and thank you so much for
okay.
having me on the show.
Oh, absolutely. And again, we'll have you back on next
yes,
week.
Yes, I will be talking
and,
to you.
And we'll have information for our folks to be able to, you know, follow up and let's get busy.
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right. Just thanks. All right, my sister. Okay, family, we're going to take a quick break. And what we're going to do, we'll be coming right back at you. And we'll be talking with Baba Willie Ricks, also, of course, known as Mukasa Dada. And, of course, you all have heard the slogan or the I don't, it's more than a slogan. It's definitely more than a slogan, but you are familiar with the phrase Black Power. Well, many of you may not know where that came from, okay? Well, you're going to know now if you don't know. And also, what does that mean today? We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Joining us is our brother, freedom fighter, Mukasa Dada. We'll be right back. All right, and you are in tune to New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and this is, of course, one of our official radio broadcasts for the Million Woman March, and now it's Universal Movement. And we want to remind you, October 25th, we will be at the Justice Department, and our theme, our demand, our outcry is We Charge Genocide. We're demanding that the Justice Department do a federal investigation into the practice of eugenics. Yep, that's right, eugenics. That's also known as genocide. And yes, in fact, they have done it. And we're talking about after 1948 when the Universal Human Rights Declaration was signed. We're talking about the Ma'afa 21. Remember that? Well, Elaine Reddick will be joining us when we are at the Justice Department on October 25th, which, of course, is the actual anniversary celebration, commemoration of the Million Woman March, the largest gathering in the world. And now we present and bring forward our global movement. And with that, we are now ready to stand in solidarity to fight along with other brothers and sisters, other organizations, other groups, other individuals who really are about self-determination and freedom. We now take our place as women of African descent. And now, ready, poised to fight for real justice, real Ma'at, and certainly at some point for peace. At any rate, we're going to move forward. Tonight's program, it is a tribute, of course, to the Honorable Marcus Garvey, as well as Black August. And with that said, free all of our political prisoners. We're going to go back to our live line, and joining us now is, as indicated, we're going to talk with a brother who has certainly made some serious contributions to our liberation, to our enlightenment, and certainly the advancement of what we call Black power. You might hear that today, but a lot of you may not know that term was utilized during a very important time period in this country when our people were really, really serious about fighting for freedom. And don't get me wrong, there's some serious now, but there's a whole bunch of questions about some of them right now, too. But anyway, why Black power? Why was it necessary then? And why is it necessary now? Well, we're going to talk about that and then some as we go to our live line and be all the way live. We're having us now be, well, we're now going to be joined live, as indicated, by our brother Baba Willie Ricks. And we lovingly call him also Mukasa Dada. Let's open up our live line. Baba Mukasa, do we have you on this line?
Yes, you do.
All right. Just thanks. Thank you for taking the time to join us tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, you were on my radio program when I was on Harambe Radio a few years back. So it's good. That's right. Good to reconnect with you. And welcome to Filthy-delphia.
Well, thank you. Glad to be up here with you.
I know that's right. So, how was the program for you tonight over at the UNIA?
Yes, sir.
Marcus Garvey. Absolutely. The spirit of Marcus Garvey is alive and moving forward. You talked about the whirlwind. Well, it's here.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about some history. For those who are not familiar with the history, the legacy that you certainly have held and maintained over these years, let's give, because, again, we got some young folks, I'm sure, are tuning in. Let's give a little history about you. If you would, please, share a little bit of that with us. What inspired you to take this journey for African liberation?
You inspired me before you were born. I knew a beautiful lady like you would be born to need to be free. So I started fighting early. And that matter of fact, I started fighting when I was about 16 or 17. And I later joined the Freedom Riders. I joined a group when we formed it called SNCC, S-N-C-C. And we used to go in the front door where white folks tell us to go in the back door. We stopped saying yes to the white people. And we just started up. And we started going places and we refused to eat where the old black folks supposed to eat, so he did what we wanted to eat, and we started the sit-in movement. And then from the sit-in movement, we started going all around the South and country, demonstrating, saying we wasn't going to back doors. They bombed our churches where we were meeting, like 16th Street Baptist Church, killed four little girls. They beat our heads open. They put big dogs on our children. They shot some of the people and stuff like that. So we was at war. And that what we were saying is that we would no longer accept slavery. We would no longer accept inferiority, and that we wanted to be free. So when we started fighting for our freedom, Dr. King, Medgar Evers, Malcolm, and a lot of these brothers were just shot down like dogs because they wanted us to be free. Sammy Young Jr. and many, many others. So we began to let the world know that there were two people living inside the United States. Us African people and the European white people, and that the white people wanted to dominate the African people, and that we were virtually still slaves, and we died, we're hungry, we're the poorest people everywhere we go, and we wanted to put an end to that, and that's why we pulled from the civil rights movement and said stop voting for these people because we ain't getting nothing from that, and let's build black power, and we started talking about black power. That shook America so bad that the young people all over this country took black power to the streets and started burning down the cities and fighting in the streets of America. Philadelphia was burning down, Detroit, and 1,000 other cities in this country was on fire. And this country got shook up that they began to pass bills and say, tell us lies that they were going to treat us better. But what they did, they backed off, and then they organized their army and forces and tightened the noose up on our necks even tighter. And today, we're shaped than we was in 1960s. They in the 60s, black men were at home. They weren't in jail. Now all our black men's in jail. More people are hungry. More people don't have jobs. More people don't go to school. More people on drugs. And so the problem is continuing to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So what black power says is that we need power. We need power to build ourselves. We need power to be able to feed our own people. We need power to have our own schools. We need power where we protect ourselves from all this racism and imperialism that continue to attack us. We need power. And when we start talking about we need power, black people start demanding power, and that's why we began to be blackness, and with black power, people began to let their hair grow out, be proud of their hair, began to teach people to be proud of your nose, your lips, your skin, and black power pointed us toward Africa, and we started looking at Africa. We began to see Africa as the richest continent in the world, full of diamonds, gold, oil, rubber, zinc, tea, copper, pearl, cobalt, manganese, everything, all the fruits and berries in the world. And Africa is the richest continent in the world, and it belonged to us. And we said, well, how did the white man get Africa? How did he get the diamonds and the gold and all? And we know that he invaded Africa 500 years ago. He not only got the diamonds and gold and all, he got us. Because he put ropes around our necks and drug us over here on them slave ships, and then made us work for him 300-400 years, absolutely free with no rights. We didn't have the rights of a dog. And they for 300-400 years. So when we started talking about black power, we were saying put an end to all that. But at the same time, black power says that you need your own nation. You need your own
That's
army.
Right.
You need your own government. And you need your own philosophy like Marcus Garvey, philosophy like Kwame Nkrumah and Du Bois and Sekou Toure and all freedom fighters from the world. These are the kind of things you do. And so one of the things we said is that we need our history. We need to give our people their history. Let them know that they're Africans. Let them know that they have a land and a culture and a history like everybody else. And that the problem with our children today, and one of the things that's missing, is that there's nobody to tell them the truth. They actually don't even know they're Africans. We don't even deal with the first fact that we should deal with any human being. You need to know who you are. If you're Chinese, your parents, the first thing they should do is tell you you're Chinese, teach you some Chinese language, teach you some Chinese words, give you some Chinese food, and let you create the Chinese culture. But today, we're born, we don't know we're Africans, don't know where we come from, don't know how to identify ourselves. And everybody identifies themselves to their land. Chinese call themselves Chinese because they come from China. Koreans call themselves Korea because they come from Korea. Europeans call themselves Europeans because they come from Europe. And then they call us blacks, and ain't no such place as a black land. It's Africa, which is the land of us, so we should be calling ourselves Africans and identifying with Africa and preparing to fight for Africa. Because if we don't fight for Africa, Africa won't get free. And we won't get free. As long as we are here under America, we'll never have freedom and liberation.
The other thing that I wanted to point out that in terms of dealing with the geography of land, and that's very, very important, and this is why we do say and call ourselves Africans. But also I just want to clarify to our brothers and sisters that when we talk about black power, we're also talking about a mindset, a state of mind, a state of being. And I think it's important that people understand that, because there's so much debate today, Baba, about, well, you know, I don't want to be called black, I don't want to be, you know, and it's like, when I was at the program tonight, of course, one of the awards that was given was the Stephen Biko Award. And, you know, it's important for me to always remind our folk that remember Stephen Biko, because one of the key things that Stephen Biko made certain that people understood was being black. Meaning the mentality, and there are certain quotes from him, you know, in that regard, talking about the mentality. And of course, in South Africa, he was known as the father of the black consciousness movement in South Africa, because he saw brothers and sisters here in the States and knew that this was for him a mindset that had to be dealt with in addressing apartheid. So, you know, again, when you talked about we have to have our own philosophies, this, too, is what we're talking about when we talk about black power. Yes, sir.
I'll talk to you, but my phone is on red, blinking, so I might cut off at 2:00.
Okay.
I hate to do that, but it may cut off, but I'll talk until it cut off. But you're right, Steve Biko was a great brother, and all of our freedom fighters all over the world has represented the same thing, wanting us to be free. And everybody wants us to be free in any way, the United States and these other agents kill them, murder them, CIA, FBI, they kill them, just like they did Martin King and Malcolm X. We're under assassination, and that murder and assassination of Muammar Gaddafi is the worst thing ever happened, and Obama participated, and that make Obama one of the worst men living on earth. He's one of the white people. He's not one of us.
even though he got brown skin, he's one of them. And that we can have no faith in this government, no faith in this country, no faith in America, and no faith in nothing they tell us. We got to form our own personality, our own army, our own government, and our own nation.
Absolutely. Now, Baba, before, hopefully before we lose you with the telephone situation, I want you to just talk a little bit about your close association and camaraderie with Baba Kwame Ture, and also in talking about COINTELPRO, because this is Black August, and we do know that many of our political prisoners are there as a result of COINTELPRO.
Well, I've been a victim of COINTELPRO for over 50 years. Many of my friends were killed, assassinated, made to be very confused by COINTELPRO, from Stokes and the Rap Round, SNCC members, or what have you. They assassinated us. They did everything. They undermined the movement. And the same thing they're doing today in Iraq, same thing they do to Afghanistanians. That's the same. They're even bombers. So they did the same thing to us that they do to other people. COINTELPRO is nothing but an agent of the FBI, CIA, that infiltrate us, confuse us, kill us, murder us, and trying to stop us from fighting for our liberation. Their job is to bring terrorism and confusion to our people.
Absolutely. What is your suggestions for us today, Baba, as we now move forward in this so-called 21st century? What do you suggest we do now to continue not only the struggle, but to now have some real victories?
The most important thing is for people to get organized and get people in an organization where they can sit down and start talking and discuss with each other and trying to realize what's going on and what's happening to us and what have you. That's what we need to do. We need reading groups, study groups, education groups where we can really begin to have some kind of understanding about our contradictions that we're facing today. The problem with our children, they need somebody to tell them the truth. They're Africans, and then tell them that we Africans and you'd never be free until Africa's free, and teach them to love Africa. In order to love Africa, you love yourself. In order to love yourself, you must love Africa. Our children are completely separated from Africa, and they're doing it deliberately.
All right. Well, Baba, I want to take this time. Go ahead.
But the most important thing is to tell our people the truth. We need the truth to come now. Who are we? Where do we come from? We Africans. Where do we come from? Who has done what to us? What country has committed crimes against us? What all have they done to us and to make us like we are today and to keep us confusion and put us in all this pain and hurt? What happened to us? Because we are facing genocide. If we don't hurry up and do something quick, we're going to be a dead people. And we asked
that
to everybody else in the other day. And white people and all these people, even teaching black people to get guns to shoot black people. They cheat us and give us such a bad rap that they make us want to shoot ourselves.
That's right.
So we got to give our children and people the true rap of who we are and where we come from and what is our history.
Absolutely. Well, in case you did not hear, we are going to be at the Justice Department on October the 25th. And, of course, what we're saying is we charge genocide. Of course, we know that there have been many who have, prior to now, have made that statement from of course, Malcolm X to Paul Robeson to Queen Mother Moore. And now we're going to make it in the 21st century. And we hopefully hope that you will join us for that day. I'm extending a personal invitation to you to be with us on October the 25th at the Justice Department when we charge genocide.
Well, let me just say this. Back in 50 years ago, we had a march on White House to organize it. One thing we did, we had to continue to come up to picket the Justice Department, and I think they picket for 5 days in a row, stayed out there all night and just protesting against the government and what the Justice Department was allowed to happen to us. And today, 50 years later, the same thing happened to us and worse. So ain't nothing changed. These people don't change. They continue to get guns and bombs where they can do what they're doing to us even better and more. And the only way we can stop it is get our forces together and demand stop and join in with our brothers in Africa, the Caribbean, and South and Central America, Castro, and all of our other friends, and let's make a demand on this country that they stop committing genocide, stop starving us to death, stop making what we ain't got, light bill, gas bill, water bill, stop working us like dogs and we don't have enough money to buy food, clothing, and shelter for ourselves or our children, and because whenever you're doing that to you, that's sacred. If you work and ain't making enough money to equal your bills out or to have a house or have something, that means you're a slave. And we are literally living as slaves today, and we got to realize that our people are suffering more now than ever before. And we need to speak out about them trying to make all, they got a program, the government got a program to try to make all those black boys gay. Because that's the way of keeping us from having babies, having children. And our brothers and our little boys are made for girls, and our girls are made for us men and boys, and that we should never look at each other. That's European behavior, even though they're teaching us to do that now, and we're getting into it, some of our children, but it's wrong, and we want our men to have wives. In Africa, they used to have 2 or 3 wives, but we didn't definitely have no men. We didn't play that. So I support men loving women and women loving men, and we producing babies and children from that.
All right. Now, you, I don't know if you recall the last time I saw you before today was in March. No. It was we were at the UN. I think it was the session for the. That was the last time I spoke to you.
Yes, that was me
that gave you that big hug.
I'm saying that
to say that, you know, I certainly concur. And one of the things that the Me Woman Movement is now doing is developing our relationships with some of the countries that you mentioned so that when we are ready to go into the UN, we will have allies and we will make this statement of charging genocide. And not only charging genocide, but connecting the dots because, Bob, I'm sure you've heard of the Ma'afa 21. And, of course, it's focused specifically on eugenics that was, in fact, practiced during the 1950s and 60s. So this government now cannot talk about the crimes against humanity that have happened. Oh, and now they're saying, oh, well, you know, that happened before the Declaration, Universal Declaration of Human Rights was signed. Well, we got them because the practice of eugenics was clearly done after 1948. Okay, I think we might have lost them this time, family, but we're going to try to work on getting Brother Mukasa back, if not tonight, certainly in the very near future. Yep, we lost him, and he did say that his phone was dying out, but hey, what we heard was very, very powerful, and certainly very, very appreciative. Okay, moving right along. What we're going to do is open up the lines for you all if you have a comment or a question or anything that you've heard for tonight. And we want to also remind you again that we do need volunteers. We need volunteers to assist now with the next steps in organizing or coordinating October 25th. We charge genocide. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come right back, if you have a comment or a question for tonight, we're going to open up your line here at New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back, and we have just a few announcements for you. One is a few weeks back we indicated that on October 26th or thereabout we will begin the official installation of what we call the Million Woman Movement 12 Sister Saints. As it has been discussed tonight and other times, you know, we strongly believe that until we declare things for ourselves, Nothing is going to really change. So with that said, we have selected our first sister saint as part of the Million Woman Movement. And what this means is that every year, these 12 sisters, these 12 mothers will be highlighted. There will be different programs around their Earth Days and their transition days. And so what I'm going to do now is convey to you who the 12 are. And again, in October, we will do an official ceremony where these 12 incredible African black women will now be a part of the Million Woman Movement in terms of, you know, it's a part of our, it's a part of us now. And we're going to make sure that their history and that their legacy continues. So, with that said, I'm going to read to you who the 12 are. Pharaoh Hatshepsut. I mean, we would be remiss if we did not include Pharaoh Hatshepsut. Mother Harriet Tubman. Queen Mother Moore. Mother Ella Baker. Mother Ida B. Wells. Mother Fannie Lou Hamer. Mother Nina Simone. Mother Sojourner Truth. Mother Rosa Parks. Mother Nanny. Mother Catherine Dunham. And Mother Madam C. J. Walker. These are our first 12 sister saints. And again, during the week of October the 27th, through November the 3rd here in Philadelphia, we'll be holding the Million Woman March week. Now, we'll be doing things during the whole month of October, but for Philadelphia, it's Million Woman March week, and with that, we begin to make certain that the Million Woman March, this movement, becomes a real black institution in Philadelphia, because this is where the national headquarters started and has remained. Give you a little tidbit on what's going to happen during the Million Woman March week. We're going to kick it off on October the 27th here in Philadelphia with Meeting of the Minds. We're going to start up again something that we used to do a few months back called Meeting of the Minds. But this first kickoff is going to be very interesting because we're going to hold a great debate. And the great debate will feature none other than myself, and anyone who has been either making claims or putting out misinformation or has attempted to misdirect the Million Woman March. So what will happen on October 27th is those female and or males who have been just straight up lying to say the truth, I am requesting to debate them. And family, I have to do this because over the years there has been so much misinformation put out there, certainly not any real, shall we say, substantial kinds of things, but things that people have attempted to do or say to exploit the Million Woman March or the Opportunist or some other kinds of things. So it's been decided we're going to put them all to rest now. And whatever they're saying, they now have to prove, which they really can't. But we want the public, the community, the masses to now see them, who they are, and hear what they say, and let them determine the truth. As Baba Willie Ricks just said, we've got to tell our children the truth. We got to tell our people the truth, straight up. So October 27th, we are putting the call out for anyone. And again, you could be in any city because, fortunately, technology allows us to utilize phone lines and computers. So for anyone who is claiming to be whatever in terms of the Million Woman March, and I have to be very specific again because I've had people running around saying that they were co-founders. There was no co-founder, for the record. And again, I have to now do this because as we proceed now with our movement, we don't want people confused. We don't want people to think that our objective was to get grants
or our objective was to get corporate sponsoring, or our objective was to become feminists or whatever. No. But we do have certain kinds of entities who have attempted to sell us out and as a result try to commercialize and try to whitewash what we were able to achieve and certainly wanted to diminish what we were to achieve in the future. So, again, October 27th, we'll put that to an end. We'll be telling you more about that as we proceed. But we want to also remind you that on October 25th, we will be at the Justice Department. We hope that you all will join us for the 16th year anniversary celebration of the Million Woman March and now the launching of our international movement. Because after October 25th of this year, we're taking the Million Woman March and its movement worldwide. Next year, we're taking the Million Woman March to one of the Caribbean islands. The following year, we're taking the Million Woman March to Africa. So, as you can tell, we're ready to move forward. Well, family, we're going to close out this segment of New Day Resurrection Liberation. Unless some of you have a comment or a question, you need to push one now if you do, and I will get you on. But if not, we're going to close this segment out. And again, we want to remind you that Black August, we're talking about the release, the demand of the release of our political prisoners. And of course, we're talking about Mumia Abu-Jamal, Sundiata Akoli, Mutula Shakur, Russell Schultz. There are so many others. We're going to also remind you that our national campaign for the elimination of violence and abuse of women and girls will also be going into full effect come October. And, oh, I wanted to again remind you, we did get a chance to go over to the observance of the August 8th MOVE tragedy that took place, the first incident or the first attempted genocide here in Philadelphia, which took place August 8th, 1978. There was a program on August the 7th in commemoration of it. It was incredible, as usual. Sister Ramona, Sister Pam Africa was well attended, and the spirit was extremely high. And we will probably have Sister Ramona on next week to kind of give you an overview as to what is now presently going on in the continued work to free the Move 9. Okay, we do have, we have someone who does have a comment for us for tonight before we close out. So we're going to go to caller at 4294. And we just opened up your mic, 4294. You have a comment or question for us tonight?
I say.
Dr. Randy Short. Hey, my brother.
How are you? Sister Empress, the
just
queen
wonderful.
Sister of all the activism and so much more. I'm calling to just let your audience know that one of my cousins, his name is Paul Lancaster,
mm-hmm.
was trained by the great Catherine Dunham.
Mm.
And he's a master percussionist, and I've been just telling him about you and your audience, and he wants to tell people about the phenomenal soul force. That was Catherine Dunham. I just wanted to put that
indeed.
Out there.
Yes, indeed. And I guess, did you hear me name the 12 of our sister saints that we are going to install as our sister saints? Did you happen to hear that one of them is Mother Catherine Dunham?
Sister, I was talking to this brother the whole time because today was my family reunion day. And we are working because Paul claims that we're descended of Queen Nzinga from Angola, someone that needs to be on one of the things. We'll see how that works out. But, no, I didn't hear, but when I heard Catherine Dunham, I said, you've got to talk to Sister Empress Sue. Like, this is what people need to hear, real culture, real music. And this is a woman I just love because people forget. Katharine Dunham was a worldwide force, a worldwide phenomenon. A phenomenon in Hollywood, on Broadway, in the street, marching as well. She was a phenomenon in getting the first anti-discrimination laws in the books in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
She in every way, the Alfonso Arinos laws in the early 1950s. A woman that stood her ground. And it was the bad guys that were laying down after she fired. That's what I love about her. So when I heard Katharine Dunham, and this is a very humble brother who was trained by Acid Hilliard and what's the other brother's name, Chancellor Williams, and also he was trained by, Dr. John Hendrick Clark.
Oh, my goodness.
And so when we start talking about heroes and he starts talking about Katharine Dunham, and that's like, I always like it when I talk to a black man, and he starts talking about the men, and then he starts talking about the women he admired. That there was space for, you know, you need two lead horses to pull a wagon right. And he had that balance. And I said, oh, and he's into my eyes. So
all right.
So you're not going to be disappointed. So I only wanted to bring to your attention, if you saw the article about this young black woman being soccer punched in the face in Florida, where they hog tie and torture our young people and they drug them. I just strongly urge your audience. I work with a group called the CCHR, Citizens Committee for Human Rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of funded by the Church of Scientology. No, I didn't say anybody need to join anything. But if you go to cchr.org, look at the videos, look at the thing on the DSM, the Diagnostical Statistical Manual, and you'll find, if you look under documentaries on cchr.org, so many documentaries with information that our community needs because our kids are being drugged. I sent you another document. In the state of Oregon, did you see that 24% of the kids in sexual slavery in Oregon are black, predominantly female? How in the hell, in a state like Oregon, the only black people, the football players at the universities brought in from other states, how do you get so many people tricking out our kids? And you know what they're doing? They're going systematically all over the country, looking at any kind of way. This goes all the way back to Reconstruction with the idlery laws and the loitering laws, that when they wanted to take a black woman's child, they said that child was idle or that child needed to be watched.
Right.
And they would enslave tens of thousands of our children. Now, our children being taken from black mothers and put into sexual slavery, or given to homosexual white couples, so they'll bring them up on the hook. So when they're 18, it's legal for me to screw my son now. Watch. Watch these stories begin to come out. And watch the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People say, we didn't know this was going to happen to the children. Well, when we were getting money from the Human Rights Fund, we had no idea there'd be a link between pedophilia against black kids going off the charts and these rights. And that's a damn lie, because Rabbi Saperstein, who's on the executive board of the NACP and one of the directors for the Center for American Progress, they're working to make pedophilia normal. I think you saw that article where Congressman Alcee Hastings is arguing that pedophiles need human rights protection. So if a child molester rapes your little neighbor's kid or rapes your grandchild and you whoop their ass, you'll get charged with a hate crime like you're a Nazi or Ku Klux Klansman, because a 40-year-old penis doesn't belong and a 3-year-old anus or vagina or mouth at that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we need to be on alert. It's a war on our children. It's a war on our babies.
It really is. And I'm not sure if I got it from you, but recently, a few days ago, I got an article. Someone sent me an article on the increase of trafficking in the United States. And I think you were talking about the one in Oregon,
yeah.
but now the whole overview
all over.
Of
it's everywhere. Happened.
Right.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And our children are the grist for the pervert
yep.
mill.
Yep. That's right.
And they're going to just rape our kids, take our kids, and our so-called Negro leaders, the one that looks like Ronald McDonald on crack, and also like Aretha Franklin with the gastrointestinal bypass, and also the one that looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy with an afro, they're going to do nothing about it. And then the other one who's trying to keep their son from becoming someone's girlfriend, now that they're in jail, they're not going to help you either. Hold on just – actually, let me jump off this line. Someone's reaching me. But I wanted to say hello and stand strong.
And, brother, we will have you back soon because we want to, of course, continue our struggle and our work to get the information we need on the murder of Malcolm Latif Shabazz.
You know we're going to have a protest next Saturday. Pam asking them are coming down on the 17th. So
okay.
We need to get the word out. Come down to D.C., I don't know what time, but we're going to put it together.
All right. Wonderful. All right, my brother. Well, thank you for, of course, bringing us some more information. And we, again, as we observe the Honorable Marcus Garvey's Earth Day, and, hey, the whirlwind is here.
Yes, it is.
All right, family, we have just been talking with, of course, Dr. Randy Short, who is a regular on our program now, and we certainly appreciate that because he keeps things quite lively, and you know how we like to do. We like to make certain we keep you inspired, motivated, and certainly striving always for true, true liberation. Well, it seems that we have reached our hour of completion. We are ready to close out this segment of New Day Resurrection Liberation. We will be back next Saturday, and we want to remind you again, we will be bringing Sister Allison back next week as well. We'll have that updated information for you in regard to her son, and we're going to make sure that we get a petition ready so that you all can at least help in signing the petition to help get this brother some medical attention. It sounds very serious. It is very, very serious. We're going to also work on getting Baba Mukasa Dana back again very soon as well. As I indicated, I did see him a few weeks back when we were over at the UN for the closing sessions of the African Union. And, you know, our folks are doing a lot of great, great work. We do also know that the UNIA is going to have their convention, I think, starting next week as well. They're going to the Virgin Islands this year to hold their national convention. So we're going to definitely be giving you some updates on that, too. And, if you're in Philadelphia next week, there is a new entity in Philadelphia known as OUR, O-U-R, meaning Original, United, and Restored. Dynamite group of folk building an independent institution in Philadelphia next week. We'll begin to kind of see what they're about. 25th in York Street, the 17th and the 18th of August, starting at 12 o'clock to 6 p.m., a full day of music, art. In fact, it's called the African Arts and Cultural Garden Social. So you're going to be outside amongst some grass, good vibes, music, spoken word, games for the children, and a lot of health information. Okay, so that's going to be next Saturday and next Sunday. Okay, we hope that you will all, if you're in the Philadelphia area, that you will be coming out to participate. It's basically free. Love donations are appreciated. And if you want more information, if you're a vendor, if there is a black marketplace that will be held, and if you want more information, you can email the Our Group at OurBlackComebackCenter@gmail.com. Again, the Our Black Comeback Center at gmail.com. That's OurBlackComebackCenter@gmail.com. Again, Our Black Comeback Center at gmail.com. Or you can call area code 720-722-3178. Again, 720-722-3178. Of course, vendors, we would love to have you there. This is one of the first of the types of programs that you're going to see coming from this wonderful facility that's being built in terms of, you know, helping to raise black folks up. Definitely focusing on self-determination, definitely focusing on nation building. Again, the African Arts and Cultural Garden Social, Saturday, August the 17th and 18th here in Philadelphia. Again, the number to call for more information, 720-722-3178. All right, family, once again, we are about to close out, and before we do that, we want to also remind you that if you would like to become involved with the Million Women Movement, either a member, which can be an active member or a support member, or if you want to assist in coordinating some of the upcoming activities. By the way, September the 15th, we are going to hold a Black Women's Power and Pre-Convention Forum. And this will introduce some of the upcoming things that the Million Women Movement will be doing from a, well, I guess you could say, political standpoint, including, would you believe, the Million Women Party, which you also believe that we're going to talk about a plebiscite, the preliminaries for setting up a plebiscite. Because as you heard earlier, there was discussion about us having our own, schools, nations, ideologies, and so forth. Well, a plebiscite will help to coordinate some of that and consolidate some of the ideas and the concepts for that. So, again, September the 15th, here in Philadelphia, we will begin to hold a week-long session that will focus on Black women's power, and it will also be a pre-convention forum. Pre-convention because throughout the country, there's always elections every year. It's time that we have a little more say in some of those things. Local politics are important. I'm not advocating, you know, dealing with the political machinery, no. However, there are some things that we definitely need to have more insight and more information about, and for some to see the practice, because at some point we do have plan to have our own government. So, September 15th, and would you not know, that's also the day, and Baba Mukasa mentioned it, when four young sisters at church in Birmingham, Alabama, were bombed. September 15th, African women, Black women, we're saying to you, it's time for us to be organized as women, not under someone else's umbrella or a part of, no, it's all us. Our own. If other women can have it, why can't we? And I'm not talking about no Negro stuff. That's what we're talking about here with the Million Women Movement, New Day Resurrection Liberation. We're talking about being organized and sisterhood solidarity, moving forward progressively and holistically. All right, family, we're going to close this segment out. And again, we invite all of you to continue to build with us. If you want to communicate with us in the future, please feel free to do so by emailing nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. You can also reach us at MWM Sisterhood at AOL.com. That's MWMSISTAHOOD at AOL.com. And we can be reached via telephone at 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. So until next week, we will leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of both Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there could never, ever be any peace, any real Hotep, until there is truly, indeed, Ma'at, meaning justice. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. So next time, Tusanana, for Multitude Ascender, together we shall win as we now move forward for power, prosperity, and ultimately peace. But until then, the struggle does continue. See you all next week. Peace out.